And the whole idea of today or this evening is that we place our confidence in the Lord because we know our future reward. And over, as I've just mentioned, the past couple of weeks, you know that I haven't been well. And I've had a few struggles in that time as well. But now I am feeling a lot better now that my appendix have been taken out and thrown in the bin. But while I was in hospital, Bobby was in the bed beside me. In fact, Bo was just a couple of doors down from me as well, so that was great. We had a couple of good times. He had a TV of his own. Couldn't believe it. Anyway, but while I was in hospital, Bobby was in the bed beside me for most of my time there. He lived close to us when we lived in Collybaggy, and I know Nan, his wife, very well because she works in Victor McAfee's, where I buy quite a few cars from. But it was great to be beside him for those few days. We talked and we shared ministry experiences. We talked about preaching. We were talking also about the importance of making the most of every opportunity we have to share God's love and to tell of the gospel. It was a good time. I got out of hospital at 12 o'clock, 12 noon on that Friday. And when I left hospital, I phoned Nan. And I said to Nan, you know, he's looking a lot better than he did yesterday. He's doing a lot better. 2 hours later, I got a phone call to tell me that Bobby had died in the hospital. And it hit me a lot harder than I had expected it would hit me. After that phone call, I just sat there. And I cried, and the Lord reminded me of a psalm that Bobby had spoken about while I was there. And it was Psalm 62 and the last part of it. It says this, "Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done." This has been a great comfort to me. As I said, we had a good time. I had a good time with Bobby. He is a great example of a Christian man, and it was a privilege to spend that time with him. And the Lord said to me, he said, "Now Bobby is enjoying the reward in heaven for what he did for me, for his life of service to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he loved, he believed in, whom he followed, whom he witnessed of." Bobby's confidence in the Lord was rewarded. And Psalm 62 is a psalm of confidence. And over the last weeks, when I have had times of confusion over the Lord's plans for my life, the Lord has continued to use this psalm to remind me that no matter what we go through in life, whether that are good times or bad times, we must place and hold on to our confidence in the Lord because we know our future reward. At the start of verse 1, confidently the writer declares that in the midst of the trials and troubles that he was going through at that time, he finds rest or peace in the Lord alone, which he repeats then as you see in verse 5. This is an amazing thing to say. In difficulty, he finds rest. His peace is in the Lord. He waits in silence before the Lord God. His relationship with God was his driving force behind his confidence. Nothing else. He hadn't confidence in his position, his power, family, friends, or circumstances. His confidence was in the Lord, whether that in good or bad times. He realized that God was his salvation and hope, and only in God. His confidence in God was so strong that he looked nowhere else for his help. God rewards us for what we do, for having confidence in him, believing in God for our salvation and our hope. Jesus is our salvation. He died on the cross and rose again so that we could know God and the hope and wonder of heaven. He took the punishment for our sin and our shame. He suffered enduring the cross so that we could know victory. So let us have confidence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and hope, because we know that our faith will be rewarded As Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. In our lives, there are good and bad times. Joy and suffering are real. But with our confidence in God, we can know and we can rest in Him. We have victory through Him and the reward for our faith. Again, if you open up to Psalm 62, within this psalm, we see the psalmist warns us about the things that can attack our confidence in the Lord, seeking to take our eyes off the reward. External forces will attack our confidence when we are weak. And we see this in verse 3. Evil will attack us when we are weak. When we are in times of difficulty, evil will see that as an opportunity to knock us down. When our lives, when our spiritual lives are wobbling, just like, you know, when you play Jenga and it's about to crash and you just want to push it down. You know, that is what Satan wants to do to us. To destroy our confidence in God, our faith and our hope in the Lord Jesus. So even in those times, we must be aware, and especially in those times, we must be aware that Satan will try to use them to knock us down. So we must hold tight, hold on confidently and tightly to our confidence in Jesus and rest in Him for our salvation and hope. When we do this and seeing all that Jesus has suffered and endured for us, and remember the wonder of having that relationship with God and the wonder of heaven, that eternal perspective helps us incredibly when we go through difficult times and when we are weak. And many of us, I think, can look back at times and events in our lives where it's just all seemed to go wrong. And it's only later, and maybe much later in our lives when we look back, that we can see the Lord's hand in all of it and that our faith and confidence in the Lord was justified. Like when we came home from South Africa many years ago now, and I came back hoping to have a job. I'd resigned from one job, hoping to get another, and it wasn't there anymore. That was a tough time. But still, we had confidence in God's plan for us and that call to ministry. Yes, it took longer than we expected. Yes, it was a tough time, but we held on to that, and the Lord showed us a different type and a different form of ministry. When we are weak, when things are difficult, we must make an extra effort to hold on to Jesus. And that's why it's wonderful that we are in a church community who can look after each other and help to support each other to do that as well. We need to be working together in all of this as well. Our fellow Christians helping us to hold on, even sometimes when we can't do it ourselves. But you know, external forces will also attack our confidence when we are strong, when we are in a good place. You see in verse 4, in a lofty place, and this could mean a place of strength. Evil will also attack us when things are going well, seeking to destroy our confidence in the Lord. And again, we need to be prepared, and it tells us, for the lies, false compliments, and blessings from hearts that wish to curse us. Jesus said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. And there, this week, in fact, we have, if you've been watching the news, we saw an appeal being denied for a senior worker in the NHS in England who was suspended for bullying. Bullying because she was speaking about her faith. She gave a book and she prayed for and invited a Muslim lady to church, and she was suspended for that. And this is just a short time after our Prime Minister has got up and said that we are a Christian country and it's important to have Christian values. And then this happens. One of the greatest Christian values is that of witnessing, of sharing the gospel, of telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is being attacked in this verdict. So we need to, as Peter said, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. When things are going well, we can be attacked. And that can happen in our workplaces where we can be attacked and criticized for our faith. So when this happens, and it will happen increasingly, we need to have confidence in the Lord and keep our eyes fixed on that future reward which we will have from him. It is the only way to get through the attacks. But we also must be aware that there are internal temptations that will attack our confidence in the Lord. Verse 9, we are warned about the danger of pride and ego, thinking that we are more than we are. Let us not kid ourselves thinking that we are better and more deserving than anyone else. Jesus chooses us, not because of who we are, but because he loves us. As our ego and our pride rises, we become more self-confident, reliant on ourselves and not on God. And this mostly happens subtly, but it erodes our confidence in God. And as that erodes, then we start to lose sight of that reward in heaven. We start to drift. Confidence in the Lord is the only confidence we should have. We cannot save ourselves. It is only through Jesus and his love and sacrifice for us. Then, in verse 10, we see wealth and the danger of setting our hearts on it, regardless of how it is gained. Because if we do, our hearts are distracted from God. And again, the distractions of wealth in this society we live in are there. And they can so subtly, again, erode our reliance and confidence in Jesus. And Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where they'll be destroyed, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where they will not be destroyed. For where your heart is, sorry, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. These internal temptations are real. And we need to be aware of them and think them through, or we will fall to them. So let us be on the lookout for these internal temptations of pride, and especially men pride, of ego and of wealth, which attack our confidence in the Lord. Let us, as Paul said, be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, which will try to destroy our relationship with the Lord. Let us stand confidently in our relationship with God through Jesus, because as verse 2 and 6 says, he alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Jesus Christ is our rock. And like the wise man, we must build our lives on his teachings and his example. So when we are weak, we will not be knocked down. And when we are strong, we will live lives which show Jesus' love, standing up to any attack we may receive. With our lives in his hands, we are safe eternally. He is our fortress in which we can trust. Not wealth, not pride, and not ego, Jesus. In this final section, as we look at Psalm 62, we can see three things that should be evident in our lives as Christians, which are a product of our confidence in the Lord and the reward we will receive in heaven. And the first, we have kind of mentioned this already, but we see that in verses 1 and 5, that we will be able and we will be a people who can rest in the Lord. Or as it literally says, wait in silence on or before the Lord. In the midst of the troubles we go through, and in the good times, that we will be able to look to the Lord, confident in His ways and in His reward. He is our rock and fortress, and we should spend time with Him, in front of Him, in silence, waiting for Him confidently. And especially when we are hurting. So being able to rest in the Lord. And the second, as the author called on the people in verse 8, he said, trust in Him at all times, O people. We, because of our confidence in the Lord and in what Jesus has won for us, will call on all people to trust in Him too. We will want everyone to know the confidence that we have because we will want all people to know the reward of God at the end, at the judgment time. So we will encourage them as best we can to know and to follow Jesus Christ, His love, His guidance, His sacrifice, the gospel. We will proclaim it in our lives. And if we are not engaged in this, then we really need to ask ourselves the question, do we really have confidence in the Lord? If we are not confident enough to share His love with the world, there is something wrong. So we need to share His love, the confidence that we have. The third, and it's in the next part of verse 8, it says that we are to pour out our hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Pour out our hearts to God. This could be seen as being the opposite of resting and being silent, and just giving it all over to the Lord, sharing it with Him, speaking it out, praying through our circumstances, our troubles, our joys. Because part of our confidence is that we know that God loves us. He desires that we commune and we communicate with Him. And Jesus did this at the most difficult time of His life. We read that He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if You are willing, take this cup from Me. Yet not My will, but Yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to Him and strengthened Him. And being in anguish, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. How often do we just come before the Lord and pour out our hearts to God and say, Lord, yet not My will, but Yours be done? How often should we? You know, the funny thing about everything that's happened to me recently is that about 8 months ago, I was offered an operation to remove my nasal polyps, which would have been the 7th nose job I would have had. And I said to the guy, I said, not yet, please, because, you know, I don't want it to clash with any of my interviews. And then the week of an interview for a church that I really, really liked, I was super keen on this church, my appendix went, couldn't believe it. I was like, seriously? And when I was in hospital, Bobby, who I said was beside me, basically said this to me near the end before I left. He said, you know, Stephen, God is in control. He is sovereign. And throughout our lives, we must remember and confidently hold on to that. even though we don't understand, God does. So we should say, like the psalmist said in verse 11, one thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong. God is strong, God is powerful, and we must let him lead us in his strength, not looking to our own. Then at the start of verse 12, and that you, O Lord, are loving. This is the word for the strongest expression of God's love. This is his hesed love, his covenant love, his steadfast, unending, unfailing love. He is faithful. Our faithfulness will slip up, but he never will. And then we confidently know that surely, as it says at the very end, surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. So let us live lives like it says at the start of Hebrews 12. Therefore, since you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And in the end, we will see that. We will see Jesus at the right hand of the throne of God. So let us confidently fix our eyes on Jesus, his power, his steadfast love, and look forward to the reward in heaven for what we have done.